Hey, welcome to Younger and Older with Jason and Dave. And we love having fun on the show, just talking about whatever comes to mind, whether it's something that's trending on the news feeds, whether it's something that's been on our hearts, or just something that maybe we don't even plan on talking about, because this is a conversation and that's how conversations go.
Yep.
Right, Dave?
Right. Have you read anything really stupid lately that people are doing?
Well, you shared with me something stupid, and it's like literally like trending because...
Yeah, but I don't know if it is. I think, you know, I'm an old guy. I wouldn't do some of the things that people do.
Well, either would I, and I'm not even that old yet. Yeah. You know, but it seems like every year there's like internet trends. You know, I remember years ago, there was like the Harlem Shake, I think is what it was called, which is kind of silly.
Yeah.
And then there was the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. That people did on the internet.
Yep.
And then I can't remember if there was anything in between that. Anyways.
There's that Pokemon stuff. Sometime we should do a show on that
sometime. Oh, yeah. We could talk about that sometime. But anyways, this just popped up on the news. And I wouldn't say this is a good one. But you know those laundry pods, Dave?
Yes.
Well, I guess there's a laundry pod challenge that is currently going on. And you laugh. But
I do.
This is actually happening. Where, like, the CDC is, like, flipping out.
Can I share something with you about that?
Sure. I haven't told anything yet.
Well, just the idea. Go ahead. Okay. Tell something, and then I'll share it.
So the challenge is this. You film yourself eating a laundry pod.
Hmm. And this is...
Dave, can I ask you an honest question?
Is this for what reason?
Can I ask you an honest question?
Please do.
At any point in time in your entire life, have you ever woken up and had an idea, say... let me think about this. It's a good, desirable thing. Let me go grab a laundry pod and put it in my mouth and chew
Never.
It.
That's what I wanted to share with you. When I was a kid, soap in your mouth was used for a certain reason.
Oh, absolutely. I remember seeing, we just got done with Christmas, but on the Christmas Story, they put soap in the mouth.
Did you never get soap in your mouth?
I don't recall.
It doesn't taste good, man.
I can't imagine.
Oh, and parents knew how to do it.
Especially nowadays with liquid foaming soap.
Yeah,
who knows how that would go?
They used to put a bar of soap in your mouth, and they knew how to do it. They would take it and scrape it on your upper teeth,
Ooh.
And soap tastes terrible.
Yeah, it does.
So if you had a potty mouth, you got soap in your mouth. And it was for anything. You could have been disrespectful and gotten it.
And got soap in the mouth.
Yeah, I mean, the soap in the
mouth. Did you get soap in your mouth often?
No, I didn't. Actually, I was a very compliant kid.
Did your brother get soap in the
mouth? He probably did. I don't remember, but he probably got it in the back of a few hands a lot more than I did. But the bottom line really is the soap in the mouth was a punishment.
Right.
And everybody saw it as a punishment.
Right.
So putting it in your mouth today... You know, I happen to read that article, and I'm thinking, you know, everyone that has any semblance of sanity is saying this isn't a good idea.
Right.
And it's not a good idea because, you know, there's some things that can't be fixed in life. If you do something stupid.
Like putting a laundry pot in your mouth.
And eating it.
Right. You could die.
You could die.
Like, it's not even like a joke. No. There's chemicals in there. And you could die. Even if you spit it out, it's still going in your mouth.
Right. So let me ask you this, though, Jason. So let's say you did it.
Yeah.
Or let's put it in a different scenario. Your son did it. He thought, well, I saw this on a video challenge.
Which is the problem that they're having is that kids are seeing this and not wanting to do it. But
that's
yes.
right. So let's say
my son saw it.
And then he tries to spit it out and he says, well, Dad, I didn't mean it, so I'll probably be okay.
Right.
I didn't know it would hurt me, so can you help me not be sick?
And I would be helpless because he's already done it.
Exactly.
You know, it's not like I can go back and take the soap out of his mouth. You know, even if he swallowed a little bit, it's not like I can try to, you know, help him gag or something, but that still doesn't prevent it from already being in his system.
Yeah.
If that were the case.
Here's the principle, I think. We try and talk principles just in general. The principle is if you're going to do something that's actually going to alter the state that you are.
Yes.
And then go and say, well, I didn't mean it. I was just kidding.
Right.
There's nothing you can do about the state that you are at that point.
Right.
So if I'm going to say, you know what, I bet you, did you ever see those cartoons? When I was a kid, the big controversy was, you know, the slapstick cartoons where people would like fall off a building and bounce off of awnings on buildings and land on their feet.
Right, right.
And they were afraid, you know, kids are going to be jumping off buildings.
Right.
Actually, people tried that stuff. You know what I mean? It was like you saw it on cartoons. You thought,
oh, this
wow,
is okay.
I could fall on that awning down there. You know, in this building, and they didn't realize to go right through the awning, you know, and end up breaking something that they can't get fixed later.
Right.
There are so many times where people try something at a, at a dare. Have you ever been with a bunch of guys and they just dare you to do something and you do it and then you realize right away this was not that smart?
I ran a marathon because of that.
Yeah.
I mean, at least that was something healthy for me. Yeah. But it was the same sort of thing. It was me and a couple other people sitting around a room like, hey, you should do that. And we all ended up doing it. That was a healthy thing. But there are most often cases it becomes something that's not a good thing that you get dared into doing.
Yeah. Through the 50 years here, I mean, there's times where, you know, I've been called to an emergency and you look at it and someone said, well, I just was daring them to, you know, jump off the top of that bridge and see if the water was deep enough or something. And you're looking at it going, seriously? You did what to him?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to be careful when other people start challenging you to do something.
Right.
That they won't do, and they won't teach you how, and they can't guarantee that it'll turn out okay.
Right.
Because really, they want to kind of laugh at you for doing it.
Absolutely.
And they're hoping you don't get hurt in the process. But I wouldn't be that guy.
Right.
Because there's things that happen to you. In the Bible, in Hebrews, do we all know what repentance is? If I say the word repent, what does that mean?
Repent. It's to want to turn back and change it.
Okay. So basically, the way the Bible uses it, it's a thought process.
Yeah.
And a lot of times what we do in America is we make it a thing process. So I'm going to behave, and we think that's repenting. It really isn't. It starts with the brain.
Right.
It starts with the brain saying, I'm going to do what's right. And then you have to do what's right because the brain said it. You know, and that's a very important illustration to have. Esau in the Bible, do you remember the story of Jacob and Esau?
Yes, that's where he gave away his birthright, right?
Right, for a pot of porridge.
It must have been some good porridge.
Yeah, he was just so hungry. The point all the way through the Bible was simple. Esau had this urge or this desire. Everybody that's listening has urges and desires, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you want to just punch somebody. I mean, whatever the urge is,
right?
We all have urges, we all have desires. And they could be for all kinds of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line really is Esau's life is always condemned by God.
Yeah.
Because what he did, it wasn't that he had the urge or desire. It's that he let the urge or desire control him.
Right.
So those people that say, well, you know, I just felt like doing that, so I had to do it. You know, no, you do not need to do what you have the urge to do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to do that.
Right.
You don't need to do what you feel like doing.
Right.
That's a lie. In fact, often, you know, those who set alarms and get up in the morning, they might want to sleep longer. Those who go to bed when they're supposed to, they might want to go to bed later. You know, I mean,
right.
You don't have to follow the dictates of how you feel. Well, Esau, what came in from a field, if you know the story, and he was just really hungry. And it's referenced here in Hebrews chapter 12. And about the 15th verse, you can go look at it. But he's referenced there because Esau was being guided by his feelings, and he gave up his birthright to his brother. Now, this was a big deal, and that's not the point of this program, so we're not going to go into it.
Yeah.
But he gave up something that was very important.
Mm-hmm.
And after he gave it up, he realized what he did wrong.
Right.
And he wanted to repent. He wanted to change. He wanted it back. He wanted it so that it didn't happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
It couldn't be done.
Right.
It can't be done. You know, I can read it to you. It says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. This is starting with the 15th verse in Hebrews chapter 12. That no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. That no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau. Now remember, the only reason he was unholy, the reason he was doing something he shouldn't have done, he was allowing his emotions, his feelings to control him to the point where he was making bad decisions. Emotions, feelings controlling him to the point where he made bad decisions, okay? So what happened was he sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he came thinking, well, if I just say I'm sorry when I'm done with this, everything will be put back the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
It's not how it works. If you're going to eat those laundry pods, if you're going to do that,
mm-hmm.
and then you're going to say, well, I don't want to get sick. I don't want to have diarrhea. I don't want to have, sorry. You're going to have the effects of eating the laundry pods.
Right.
Yeah, but for a moment there, my friends thought I was really cool. That's the Esau moment, if you want to call it. The bowl of porridge moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, you have kids, Jay. So
I do.
Do they ever have these moments where they just do something they shouldn't do because they felt like it?
Yeah, because they don't. I mean, they're in the process of learning that.
So how do we teach them? How do we teach people in general? How do you learn? How do I learn? How do we learn that because you have a feeling or an emotion or something, you don't have to act on it?
Right.
How do we do that? Because our culture almost is teaching us, if you feel like something, you have to take care of it.
Just do it. If it feels good, do it.
So why would we say no to those feelings?
I think, and that's the process of us as Jesus followers, to take our thoughts and our desires and line them up with the principles that God wants us to live by. You know, because we've talked about in previous shows where the heart is deceitful.
Right.
You know, and so just because we have a feeling or thought doesn't mean that it's a pure feeling or thought. And so there's where we need to take every thought captive, you know, to use another biblical word. And so then how do we do that? I have to try to help my boys understand that process and do that. And they're going to fail at times in doing that, just like I fail at times in doing that. So but that's where we need to try that.
In the small areas, you need to let them feel the pain of failure.
Right.
Because I think what's happening is there are so many parents that are helicopter parents, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
And what's happening is they will not allow their children to feel the pain of the smaller decisions in their lives. So what they think is, I can make a bad decision. Mm-hmm. I can do something really stupid and mom and dad will bail me out. Or God, then you pray for me and everything will be fine because I didn't mean to do it in the first place.
Right.
Or I did mean to do it, but I didn't mean to have the consequences, so somehow I want to get out of this.
Right.
It doesn't happen. Your children, as young as they are, you have a golden opportunity to teach them that if they do something really silly,
right,
go ahead and let them suffer.
Right.
Because that's what you have to teach them, is there's no way for me to dismiss the suffering for this. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you've started to give them at least the mechanism to make good decisions down the road.
Right.
I really am afraid that many people will be surprised when they stand before God someday because they really think, well, I'll just tell them, you know, sorry, I didn't know this was going to happen this way. Mm-hmm. And it did happen this way.
Right.
Because of their decisions to take care of all their urges and their desires right now and not think of the future, not think of the way God meant it to be.
Right.
You know, our urges and desires, our feelings are there for a reason. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the reason, I think, is to tell me who I really am. So let's say I'm seeing you and you're bothering me and I want to punch you, but I don't punch you. So I think I'm a pretty good guy because I didn't punch you. Mm-hmm. I would ask our listeners to do this. Back that bus up a little further and say, why did I want to punch him in the first place?
Right.
You know, what is it that's possessing me that made me want to do this? And that's the area I want to start talking to somebody about and straighten out.
Right.
Not, I didn't punch him, so I'm a good person. No, I wanted to. Dave Wager still has that in him where he wants to punch a guy. Where'd it come from? Why do I want to do it? I want to get to the point when I see somebody, even if I don't like them, and mm-hmm. I'm not saying I don't like you, obviously, but I want to be able to think, what can I do to help this person?
Right.
Not, what can I do to punch this person?
Right.
And that... our feelings, our emotions help us get a level 5, listen to our other communication stuff.
That's right.
A level 5 understanding of who we really are,
right,
and allows us to deal with something in a true manner.
Right.
And I wouldn't be eating those pods if I understood what I just said.
Right. And I think, like you said, there's so much correlation to life in general, and you don't just do something to do it. You know, and that's why I think the more that we can train ourselves to think about, you know, the thoughts and the feelings that we have and say, all right, God, is this something I should pursue or not? You know, whether it's something silly or stupid, like a Tide Pod challenge. So I think we're just tipping off the iceberg here, Dave, and we'll be right back with Younger and Older.